all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, August 16th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, or on social media, or by podcast. Nice to have you along as we get the weekend going with 81 days left to go until Election Day. I got a question for you. How would you define a press conference? If somebody calls a press conference, doesn't that imply some back and forth, really? Questions and answers and things like that. It didn't exactly work out that way yet again for Donald Trump calling an alleged news conference. So we'll be talking a bit about that coming up. Jennifer Schulze will be pinch hitting for Mark Jacob coming up in our second hour to talk about that. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil will be here in our first hour, and we will talk more about the presidential campaign and the things that President Biden and Vice President Harris have been talking about in terms of their record, which this week includes some particularly good news about how much you, the taxpayer, are saving now that we have ended a 20-year block by Republicans on negotiating bulk pricing for drugs that are used by people on Medicare. Seems like a no-brainer, but for 20 years, we have been overpaying for drugs. And now we don't. And wait till you hear how much we're saving. Also, you can reach us at any point during the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You, of course, can use the Civic Media app. You can also put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you call us at 855-75-CIVIC, the first voice you will hear will be that of Greg Bach, who is in Waukesha right now pushing the buttons and spinning the dials for us before he gets set for another busy weekend at the Laughing Tap. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
I'm excited. It's road trip day.
Yeah, you're getting going, ready to paint the town.
Yeah, something like that. What you can't see if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube is it all looks the same here in my home office. What you can't see, and I'm not going to tilt the camera down, is there's almost no place I can step because everywhere on the floor are either cords, cables, adapters, laptops, other files, everything I'm trying to remember not to forget when I head to the Democratic National Convention. But that road trip begins with a trip to Milwaukee and a trip to the Laughing Tap.
Wow.
So no pressure, but what do you got going on this weekend?
This weekend we have Brad Wenzel coming out. He has been on he was on Conan like three times. He's recorded a new record called Joke, Joke, Joke. And he's just very funny, very, what did I say? If you're a fan of like Mitch Hedberg and Stephen Wright,
you're gonna like
him a lot.
Oh, I love Mitch Hedberg and Stephen Wright.
Yeah, so, and it's gonna be a great show. We have Louisa Noy hosting. She's a Milwaukee favorite. Charlie Kogis from Madison, who just released a record this year, and it's very, very funny. And then on Saturday, which is when you'll be at the show, very special guest set from Mr. Joel Boyd, Milwaukee native. And I truly believe who I will eventually work for in Hollywood one day, because he is just he's working on film, he's doing TV, he's in commercials, and he's just a good friend and a good guy. So you're gonna have a great time on Saturday, and if you want to come out and join us this weekend at the Laughing Tap, go to laughingtap.com, get your tickets there. They're still available. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimum, and I'll be there. Don't let that deter you.
And you know who else? The person who finally is so looking forward to meeting you in person. Honey, are you nearby? Can you say hi, Greg?
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Dr. Kreitlow.
So she's very much looking. So finally, my spouse and my work spouse get to meet. This is very exciting. You know, a lot of times that's awkward in certain situations. It works here. It's just fine. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy day, a busy weekend. Then, of course, it gets even crazier next week with the Democratic convention. Yeah. And in the Milwaukee area where you are, it's, you know, even though it's not Chicago, still going to be busy because on Tuesday, Kamala Harris is going to have a rally at the Fiserv Forum.
I know.
So
I'm going to be there.
Nobody's going to be bored this week.
Yeah.
I got to bring up I forgot to put the text line screen in front of me. Let me do that because I wanted to ask you about something that we didn't have time for yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about the birthday of the gentleman who invented the theremin.
Yeah. Bob Theremin.
I don't think it was Bob, but yeah, that somebody, it was Matt from the town, of course. He shared with us, he said, Google Badgerman, not theremin, but Badgerman.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there on YouTube is a clip of a theremin made from a stuffed badger. So it's a Badgerman. And it's a YouTube clip of a guy in a tuxedo. And the control panel, which looks like an old AM radio control panel, you know, built into the Badger. There it is now. And somebody is accompanying him on piano as he plays the Badgerman.
I'm just going to say this right now, Pat. Not all art is important.
Yes. Something can be art, but it may not necessarily make it to the Smithsonian or the Library of Congress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have discovered on this program a theremin made out of a stuffed badger. So thanks to Matt from Germantown for making sure that he shared that with us. How about these Brewers? Manchester to put with the Dodgers.
Oh my goodness! Oh, good gravy! So excited! I will take a split happily.
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh! Yes. To be able to win two against the Dodgers like that, I mean, the day before, you know, it was Devin Williams shutting them down. And then yesterday afternoon, it was Jackson Churio and William Contreras, each homering in the first inning, and each scored again in an eighth inning comeback for the Brewers to rally and beat the Dodgers 6-4 yesterday. Devin Williams earned his third save in as many opportunities and ended the game by striking out Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. And so at the end of the game, they were eight games up in the division. So they're like, depending on how the Reds did last night, seven and a half or eight and a half games up in the division, which is really good because the Cleveland Guardians are coming to town and they are a juggernaut this year.
Yes, they are.
In the American League. So this is going to be another great series at American Family Field. Made all the more important by the note from yesterday that Christian Yelich is in fact going to miss the rest of the season. He's going to have back surgery, which I think a lot of us had seen that coming. And I obviously wish him a full recovery, but let's just say I'm not setting the bar. I'm not, you know, expecting that the 2025 season is going to rely on Christian Yelich coming back. He's had back problems all of his life.
Yeah.
So.
I don't want to say at all he's like done, but we're entering that portion of his career where it's gonna start just waning a little bit more. And yeah, back injuries, he had that leg injury. I mean, he it's upsetting because he's so good.
He is, but you know, again, sometimes your body just doesn't cooperate, and what you want to avoid is What I used to call the Willie Mays situation, but now I'm going to call the Tiger Woods situation, where you just can't stop playing, even though, I mean, it's not working. I mean, Tiger Woods coming in, what, last in the British Open, and it was just, it's sad to see, and I get the spirit of competition, but at some points, like, you've made some money, you know, you can go do anything else right now.
Yeah.
And your worth isn't based just on playing this one particular game, whether it's golf or baseball or whatever the case may be. So if this is the end of the road for Christian Yelich, then we have been very lucky. You know, we remember how much like we went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
We kind of had this transition from Ryan Braun to Christian Yelich.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
And that's why I've been looking at people like Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Churio to see if we can kind of replicate that again. And at the moment, it appears like we might really be doing that. Not going to get my hopes up too high, and I'm not going to dwell on it too long because you know what happens when we talk about sports. So
boring.
So boring, people said. So boring.
I'll just say this is that I'm wondering. I know that we're in for big money with Jackson Chourio, but Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich, long-term contracts, big money payouts for, I don't want to say no results, but like they're always paying them with the intention of getting a ring and bringing the trophy home to Milwaukee. Will we continue to do that? And I guess the answer is yes, because with Jackson Chourio, that's going to be a lot of money if that all pans out.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's always the chance you take with a prospect. I mean, yeah. I remember Christina Laurie was on a couple of weeks ago talking about all the Packer prospects that never made it to the Packers starting lineup, or the Brewer prospects rather, that never made it to the Brewer starting lineup and then did well in other cities or just never did well at all. You know?
Oh, yeah.
How many college football stars never made it big in the NFL?
Yeah.
You know, it's just
Bucks it's, have the Bucks have that the, too. Sam Cassell and Ray Allen play for us and then go win championships.
We're going to get to the news, and that includes the Trump news conference and some incredibly, incredibly offensive and ugly things said by Eric Hovde about police violence and black men. That's coming up. But in the short time before the break here, let me just switch gears to entertainment news. I had no idea whether there'd be any further follow-up to Matthew Perry's death.
Yeah, right?
But wow, to see five people indicted, including at least two doctors and reputed dealers, one known as, the ketamine queen of Hollywood or something like that. I mean, it just tells you, even after Michael Jackson, even after Prince and so many others, there is still very much a culture of addiction, and that celebrity provides access. And it feels like, just based on that law enforcement press conference yesterday, like they're finally taking this seriously. It's like, how many dead celebrities do we have to go through before you say, you know what, you have to treat them like everybody else and you have to crack down on drug sales and things like that.
Yeah.
And if it brings some justice, it can't bring Matthew Perry back, but if it prevents this in some other case, then then it has to happen.
Absolutely.
You have to prosecute these folks who are part of the problem.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get into Eric Hovde's remarks and that Trump press conference. We'll have Kia Vakil along as well. All coming up wherever you're listening on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. No, we weren't going to forget that we play Yacht Rock on Fridays here. And Seals and Crofts, I believe we had, it was Dash Croft's birthday this week that we had.
Yep, indeed.
All right.
This sounds like an Eagles song, too.
Our whole theme this week has been conflating musical artists. You know,
yeah,
doesn't this sound like so-and-so?
Weird.
And wouldn't you know, for all the fuss I made about Metallica the other day, they actually are still touring and playing, and I was out with some friends last night who are very excited to be going to see Metallica and Five Finger Death Punch at the U.S. Bank Stadium here coming up. I'm just like, really? Metallica's still playing stadium tours?
Wow. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they play arenas or stadiums, and unless they're like, hey, we're going to play a fun club show that's... they're seating at least 15,000 people.
Wow. Okay. Well, good deal. And the same with the Eagles. Eagles have been touring long after the passing of Glenn Frey. So tours are where the money is now. They're all looking at Taylor Swift with that $1 billion and saying, okay, let's get on the road, kids. This is how this works. All right. Former President Donald Trump once again called a news conference. Or something that's supposed to be a news conference or a press conference. You know, a little Q&A. You deliver a brief opening statement saying, here's the message I want to share with everybody today. And then you take questions from the press. And to me, it's hilarious that Trump hasn't had a probing interview until that recent one with the National Association of Black Journalists. He hadn't had one in months. And now he feels like he can give Vice President Harris grief for not meeting with the press. But last week and this week, in his, you know, alleged press conferences, he doesn't get around to the questions till a very long, shall we say again, opening statement. And then his answers have nothing to do with the questions. He just grabs excerpts out of his rally speech filled with dozens and literally dozens of falsehoods or lies or exaggerations or anything like that. And there were two quick clips from Trump I want to play, and then we're going to turn to Eric Hovde. Now, in the first one, he talks about giving out the Presidential Medal of Freedom and compares it to the Congressional Medal of Honor. The Congressional Medal of Honor is the highest honor we can give to our men and women in the armed forces who have fought bravely and in many instances died for their country. The Presidential Medal of Freedom used to mean something a lot more. It was something that presidents gave out for, again, a lifetime of contribution of service to the country. When Donald Trump started giving them out to people like Rush Limbaugh, I mean, it really kind of tarnished the whole thing. And in one case, he gave one of these Presidential Medals of Freedom to the wife of the late billionaire Sherrod Adelson, who has contributed millions and millions and millions of dollars to Donald Trump. So in many ways, you could say that medal was bought. Listen to how Trump denigrates the fighting men and women of this country who sacrificed and were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor when he compares it to the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I have to say, Miriam, I watched Sheldon sitting so proud in the White House when we gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor.
No,
but
no,
civilian
it's not.
Version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That soldiers, they're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's very-
and they're applauding this. They're applauding. In fact, well, this medal's better because, you know, you're all bullet ridden or dead, whereas she's here. She's beautiful. It's just sick. That was his comment later on after the news conference. At the news conference, he made all kinds of crazy assertions. It was supposed to be again about the economy, but he just went off on one personal insult after another. And I just want to play this really short one about the danger of electing Kamala Harris. And again, they use communism and socialism. They have no idea what these things actually mean. They're scare words. But just catch how he refers to communism if Kamala Harris were to get elected.
And you're not going to be allowed. You're all going to be thrown into a communist system. It's a communist system. You're going to be thrown into a system where everybody gets health care. It's...
Everybody gets health care, Greg. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh, God, don't send me to communist jail with health care. Man.
He was talking about, you know, the Cheerios and the fruit. There are all these props of groceries behind him that he clearly has not been in the grocery store perhaps ever and had no concept of how much the economy has recovered. But the whole point of the press conference is he went over an hour, just over an hour of talking before he took questions. And CNN, I guess, carried that whole thing for that first hour or so. They dumped out at the top of the hour before they'd even gotten any questions. CNN, you got played.
Oh, CNN. Yeah. They've fallen so much.
I know. We'll talk more about all this with Jennifer Scholze in our next hour, but I definitely want to play you this clip from Eric Hovde, who on a conservative podcast said on Tuesday, you know, when it comes to all of the problems with police violence and racial strife, do you know whose fault that is? Do you know it's not the police, the ones who have been shooting unarmed black men? It's to hear Eric Hovde tell you, it's Barack Obama's fault that he the guy, the black man calling out racism and racist behavior is responsible for racism.
Why do you think the press is insisting that you and I have to run from that?
Because the whole model of the left and the Democrats is to divide and create victimization and create anger. Look, they try to divide us by our race. They try to divide us by our gender. They try to divide us by our socioeconomic class. They try to divide us by our religion, our sexual preference, and their whole campaign mode. And it started, let's be honest, this all started with Obama. Yes. Obama ran on hope and change and bringing us together. And then he used race as a tool and a weapon. And he would find 6 months before any election some incident between the police and typically a young black man.
Yes.
And then they would whip it up to create anger in the black community. And you can think of all the names, Freddie Grave, Michael Brown. You could just go through. I mean, just go back.
Trayvon Martin, yeah.
Trayvon Martin.
Yep.
And, you know, some of those ended up blowing up in their face. Like, Michael Brown wasn't standing, hands up, don't shoot. But they got their effect of it.
Yeah. First off, wow. Second, I'm glad you're able to still say their names. Granted, you're trying to somehow accuse them. You're trying to say somehow it's Michael Brown's fault and that somehow it's Trayvon Martin's fault. And you're using that as a way to, you know, divide rather than insist on better police training or getting guns off the streets or things like that. The convenience of, oh, there happens to be a shooting 6 months before an election. Maybe if there weren't so many shootings, people wouldn't be so angry and divided. And maybe if some people didn't insist on discriminating against people because of race, gender, religion, we wouldn't have those debates either. We'll talk more about all right, our Friday morning rolls on with career news from national correspondent Kiev Akil in Los Angeles one more time before he hits the road or the dusty trail or however it is you're going to get to Chicago. I assume you'll be at the Democratic National Convention as well, right?
I will, but it will not be the road. I will be in the sky above or parallel with the clouds. So I'm not prepared to drive 30 hours to Chicago.
No, nobody should be. It's going to be a good time. Definitely a different convention than we all thought it would be a month ago, though, or so.
Yeah, it has been, a lot has happened in the last month. I don't think it's fully set in yet, but yes, it'll be a very different convention. There's just a more palpable excitement around it rather than, you know, a lot of sort of, I don't know, tension or fear or uncertainty.
Yeah.
Very excited.
So we'll certainly have lots of coverage of that. You and I will probably record something, you know, face to face for once there as we cover the convention. And there's plenty to talk about in terms of the presidential campaign and all that. But let's set that aside for just a moment. And let's really start with some good news. And the good news deals with how much taxpayers will start saving now that Medicare can finally negotiate for drug prices. Why don't you share some of the latest figures on that before I rant about how very overdue this was?
Yeah, so the Biden-Harris administration on Thursday released sort of the results of their first round of negotiations with drug companies. And this is to lower the price of 10 really expensive, widely used drugs by seniors on Medicare. And in total, that's going to save it's going to save taxpayers about $6 billion in the first year, which will be 2026. And about $1.5 billion of that will also save seniors about $1.5 billion on out-of-pocket costs. And so basically what this means is, you know, in all these other countries around the world, the government can negotiate price of healthcare for people and help them pay less. In the U.S., this has long been something that's not allowed, but the Inflation Reduction Act allows Medicare to do that for folks on Medicare. And so, you know, we know people, as they get older, they're more likely to rely on medication. And sometimes that medication is prohibitively expensive. And so, you know, some of these are, the prices are going down 79% relative to their list prices last year. Others are, you know, going down slightly less, but I believe even the one with the least decline is somewhere 33-34%. So, and these are just the first 10 drugs. So 15 more will be selected and will have their prices go down in 2027, and then 15 more in 2028, and then 20 more starting in 2029 and every year after. So a decade from now, we could have, you know, I can't do that math off the top of my head, but let's say 200 drugs at least that are much more affordable than they are today.
Yes. And they should have been affordable all along. And Kia, I know that, you know, those of us who are kind of like, you know, always paying attention to this every day, it won't be a surprise to you. But from the moment Medicare Part D was added, which I think was 2004, don't hold me to it, but somewhere around that time, when Republicans first put up the amendment that would which for 20 years prevented Medicare from negotiating bulk pricing with big drug companies. Yep. Kia, if it would have been me, every election, I would have hit that and hit it and hit it and said, why are Republicans, you know, making you pay more money for drugs? And yet it just kind of, that was just kind of the way it was for 20 years. And now we can see just with this first batch of drugs, $6 billion in savings right there. I again just want to go to every voter out there and say, not only did a certain group of people allow this for 20 years, but in terms of the Inflation Reduction Act finally allowing this negotiating to happen, do you know how many Republicans voted for the Inflation Reduction Act? That's a big old zero right there that he's making with his hands, folks. That's a big old goose egg. Not a single Republican voted for the bill that is going to save taxpayers $6 billion just in the first wave. So that is some good news. However, because there's always something tied to Project 2025, the far right Heritage Foundation has argued that a drug price negotiation amounts to, quote, price controls that would limit access to medications and reduce patient access to new medication. Kia, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong. I see nothing in there that is factual.
No, it's just drug company spin. They want, you know, they want to sit on their mountain of profits and keep making the mountain bigger, not caring what happens to, you know, seniors or non-seniors who rely on drugs to survive. These companies all make huge profits overseas, but they're a lot bigger here because they don't have to really care about what people are paying. That's starting to change finally. Obviously, we're nowhere near where we should be or need to be for everyone, not just seniors, to be able to afford their medication. But we're making steady progress. And whatever excuse these companies have, you know, no offense, like, it's just BS. Like, if you look at their profit statements, if you look at the bonuses they give their executives, it's insane. They're gobbling up little drug companies all the time. It's just total nonsense. It's the rich wanting to get richer.
Yeah, they go on to write, this negotiation program should be repealed, and here's the clincher, reforms in Part D that would have meaningful impact for seniors should be pursued. Again, it's always the, we should be doing something, but not the thing that you're doing right now, but we're not going to give you details, because we all know what the details would be. Higher prices for consumers. All the time. I mean, it's the healthcare plan. It's the infrastructure plan. It's the tax plan. It's like, we need reforms. What are the reforms? We've got reforms right now.
I mean, it's the whole repeal and replace nonsense where there's never actually a replacement. It's just they want to kill it and then pretend like they have a plan and they don't.
Right. All right. There was the good news of the price savings. Now we have to come back to reality. And Kia, again, through Courier Newsroom, I see the train of stories that go past every day that we've got people working on in all the different states and at the national desk and everything else. And so you can imagine the look as I saw the story come through about J.D. Vance saying, well, you know, the Irish and the Germans and the Italians, you know, those immigrants, you know, they were responsible for increases in crime as well. For a guy who I'm pretty sure is not Native American, there's nothing about an immigrant that he can say a good word about.
No, I mean, look, there have always been people like J.D. Vance who, anytime a new demographic decides to try to immigrate to this country, again, whether 100 years ago it was the Irish, the Italians, and the Germans, whether in the middle of the century it was more, you know, the Chinese and Asian Americans, now it's Central Americans and South Americans and Mexicans, like, there's always a crime wave. I'm doing quote marks for your listeners. And
crime wave.
For context, J.D. Vance said that basically the influx of European immigrants led to rising crime rates. And it's just, you know, all of this stuff is debunked. Like, there are other reasons crime might rise in communities during eras like the Great Depression, during eras without workplace protections, during eras without a minimum wage or labor protections. If you throw 1 million people in a small, dense area without any support or help, yeah, things are going to happen. But that has nothing to do with them being immigrants. It just does not correlate. But because J.D. Vance and Donald Trump's entire shtick is blaming the other, they don't care.
No, because in their mind, everybody in my family was honorable. They came over, you know, with nothing but the best intentions, and they never needed any assistance whatsoever. And that's such a load of bull. But of course, it's always easier to kind of whitewash your own history and then denigrate everybody else's with a broad brush. But that of course, would be J.D. Vance for you. Oh, if only he were the most colorful one out there. But he's not alone. You know, we've talked about the North Carolina Republican nominee for governor. And of course, we have Eric Hovde here at home. But in Minnesota, they had a Republican primary recently to see who's going to be running for U.S. Senate against Democrat Amy Klobuchar. And there were five candidates, if I'm not mistaken. When there's five candidates, kind of like when Trump first got in, when there's a ton of candidates, you don't need as many votes to be the winner, to squeak in there. And boy, are Minnesota Republicans having second thoughts, I think, about the guy who's going to be their nominee for Senate.
Yeah, primary voters chose Royce White. The only reason anyone outside of Minnesota might have heard of Royce White is he was an NBA player for about 3 seconds. and I think he literally maybe played in one, or I don't even know if he played in a game, in a regular season game. He was famously afraid of air travel, which, no judgment, but just was not able to actually play in the NBA. Yeah. And since then has gone very, very far. I won't even say to the right, because it's really just...
It's just goofy.
Just goofy. And, you know, he at one point had been really proactive about talking about mental health in sports. But since then, he's veered into a different direction. He shares a lot of anti-Semitic, homophobic, misogynistic, sexist conspiracies. He's close with Steve Bannon and has appeared on his show a lot. He says that women have become, quote, too mouthy. And he was accused of using campaign donations at a strip club. I mean, this is just a couple of the things. Amy Klobuchar is a very strong candidate in Minnesota. She wins her races quite handily. This might be a record for a Senate win. And the problem there is there are down ballot races in Minnesota, and having someone like that just like near the top of the ticket can't help like Republicans in the state legislature or even in the Congress, because you have a total lunatic running for Senate there.
Right. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota politics looks when this is all said and done. If Tim Walz leaves and becomes vice president of the United States, you're going to have more changes. And this guy's candidacy is not helping the Republican cause at all. Are we actually getting to the point from one headline I saw? Could it be that I shouldn't do this? We do this every election cycle. Is Florida in play?
The optimist in me wants to say yes.
It's kind of like Texas. We always say it, but
I think Florida will be similar to what it was in 2020, a narrow Republican win rather than Ron DeSantis winning by 19 points like he did 2 years ago. I think Florida will be closer than, you know, people would have thought a month or two ago. I do not expect Kamala Harris to win the state of Florida. I would love to be proven wrong. That would be, I mean, that would decide the election right there. But no, but what I do think could happen is, because it's closer at the top of the ticket again, you could see a competitive Senate race there. Rick Scott is not a popular candidate. He has never really handily won an election. He's just filthy rich and can spend as much money as he wants. You might see some close competitive congressional races. Republicans might lose some state legislative seats. But no, I don't think it's realistically at play at the presidential level.
Okay. Of all the things that we won't have time to talk about from a state by state basis, you know, Virginia, they're talking about a constitutional amendment, you know, for women's health rights. There's Michigan workers who are at the heart of the clean energy boom there, which could be a harbinger for Wisconsin jobs. In Nevada, they're having a big water summit as just, again, another reminder of how lucky and fortunate we are to be here in the Great Lakes Basin. But I wanted to close just because, again, you see all these state by state stories, and yeah. I'm seeing Project 2025 and its state by state impact, because, again, you talk about it at this big macro level issue, but you're seeing all the details of what would happen in each of these states if Trump were to win and Congress were to go Republican. It would hit everybody's life.
Yeah. I mean, for one example, both Trump and Project 2025 want to completely eliminate the Federal Department of Education and target some education funding programs, which would effectively gut funding for schools that serve a lot of lower income folks. And, you know, that means in places like Milwaukee, in places like deeply rural Wisconsin, where there's not a lot of economic opportunities and schools are the main drivers of jobs, those places would maybe shut down or just lose funding and become shells of themselves. That's one example. There are literally hundreds of examples. It is a 900-page document. It would gut health or childcare programs. It would gut Medicaid. It would gut the Affordable Care Act. All of these things would trickle down through every state, city, township, community in the country.
And you can read all about that at upnorthnewswi.com and through couriernewsroom.com as well. Kia Vakil, looking forward to seeing you in Chicago. Seems only appropriate, since we do this radio show on social media, that you see a couple of boxes here. It's not quite the Hollywood Squares, but, you know, I'll play the role of Paul Lynn. You play the role of Wally Cox. We'll just kind of wave at each other. And we will mark the passing of Peter Marshall, who passed away this week at the age of 98. Played straight man to, of course, Paul Lynn, but, I mean, all manner of celebrities who came on the Hollywood Squares. Going way back to 1966 until 1981, it was required viewing back in the day that you watched. And to this day, sometimes my favorite things that pop up on Instagram or TikTok, you know, because all kinds of things, you know, it's like a slot machine basically for videos. And occasionally some old Hollywood Squares routines, especially with Paul Lynn, will come up. And they're hilarious, you know. So it was great viewing. I sense it was not you probably didn't see quite the 1,000 episodes that I feel like I did.
I watched, I grew up in the 80s. I watched a lot of reruns as a kid. So I saw those. I saw those Paul Lynn, Charles Nelson Reilly episodes. And
yes.
And yeah, I mean, and then, and you know, when they redid it like in the 90s with Whoopi Goldberg, that was
Tom
fun.
Bergeron.
Yeah. It was fun. But those 70s episodes,
especially
so
when you're
naughty.
Well, because there was an envelope that you could push. Now, yeah. I mean, anything goes. Back then, it was like, oh, can you really say that? And it was a lot of fun that way. Peter Marshall passed away at the age of 98. We have another celebrity passing to tell you about coming up at the end of the segment here. But let's get to some happier news, including some birthdays. And happy 66th birthday to the original Material Girl herself, Madonna. And she's not the only one who turned 66 today. Angela Bassett was born the same day. She is 66 today. Kathy Lee Gifford is 71. Steve Carell is 62. Emily Strayer of the Chicks is 52. And Packers kicker Ryan Longwell is 50, but he's a kicker, so he could probably still get the job done today.
Yeah, you know, I got nothing there. I couldn't even do it. Like, everyone thinks, I could kick a ball. No.
Gold was discovered in a tributary of the Klondike River in Canada on this day in 1896, setting off the Klondike Gold Rush. Here's another birthday to tell you about today. Vanessa Carlton is 44 years old today, known best for... I don't think it's fair to call her a one-hit wonder. Maybe? Maybe not?
I think she has her fans who love her songs. I bet you if you played two or three songs for her, I'd be like, yep, I know that one. But this is the one that's like movies or telephone commercials or whatever.
Yep. Let's see. On this day in 1962, Pete Best was fired as the drummer for the Beatles and replaced by Ringo Starr. You know, sometimes you make a personnel change and you're not sure if it's the right way to go. This one apparently worked out okay.
Yeah, but Pete Best definitely spent the next few decades whining about it.
Yes. One more birthday here. Barry Hay, lead singer of Golden Earring, is 76 years old today. On this day in 1954... came the publication of a brand new magazine.
Ooh.
You see, kids' magazines are these things we used to read. There were pieces of paper that were all bound together and had like news and features and things.
We don't have time, Pat. Kids, ask your meemaws.
Yes. The very first issue of the new magazine, Sports Illustrated, was published on this day in 1954. And that, to me, it's like, okay, you had Time and Newsweek for the news. You had Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were just staples. And I never could have thought I would see a day when those just weren't things anymore. You know, everything is on the screen. I can read it on my watch now. It's really tiny, but I can read it on my watch. Happy 71st birthday to JT Taylor, lead singer for Kool & the Gang. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Get down on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on it. Getting down on it.
I love this little bit of musical trivia. This day in 1957, Buddy Holly's group, the Crickets, played the first show of a six-night engagement at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. And I understand if you're going, really? Tell me more. Yes, in fact, it was due to confusion with a black group led by Dean Barlow that was also called the Crickets. But note that I said it was the first show of a six-night engagement.
Oh, man.
Buddy Holly's group won over the crowd despite the booking confusion, and they played that full stint at the Apollo Theater, which I think is just super cool.
I love it.
On the national day calendar for today, let's see, we've got, today is Hawaiian Shirt Day. And unfortunately, the only Hawaiian shirt I have is the Milwaukee Brewers one, and that's already packed away for the game this weekend.
Ah.
So I did not do my part for Hawaiian Shirt Day. I apologize. This is National Airborne Day, where we salute all the men and women who've served in the airborne forces, paratroopers in some way, shape, or form over the generations. This is National Independent Worker Day, in case you don't feel like working for the man anymore. Or the woman, as the case may be. You can do your own thing. This is Men's Grooming Day, so I guess I'll shower. You look very handsome. You are very groomed, very well put together. This is National Roller Coaster Day, National Rum Day, which from something I casually set off, you know, offhand the other day, apparently I need to go put some in my coffee because I gave the distinct impression that I put rum in my coffee, and I don't. Except on Fridays. This is National Tell-A-Joke Day, which is our reminder, laughingtap.com.
Heck yeah.
Find out about the shows. And this is National Kool-Aid Day because it's a big Kool-Aid festival in Hastings, Nebraska. Why Hastings, Nebraska, you say?
Why Hastings, Nebraska?
Very good, Greg. Good question. The inventor of Kool-Aid, Edwin Perkins, invented Kool-Aid in Hastings, Nebraska once upon a time. So, Hastings, Nebraska, the home of Kool-Aid.
Do you think Kool & the Gang's ever played that festival?
Oh, I would like that. It's a crossover right there, just dying to be arranged. On this day in 1967, it was the middle of the night. Louis Armstrong was fresh off playing a midnight show at a Vegas casino. He's into the wee smalls. He heads to a recording casino, or a recording studio, I should say. And in the studio, he lays down a classic.
I see trees of green.
And it's with this melancholy song that we end the history lesson with a few other notes. Elvis Presley died this day in 1977 at the age of 42. Aretha Franklin died this day in 2018 at the age of 76. And rest in peace, Greg Kinn of the Greg Kinn Band, who passed away this week after a battle with Alzheimer's at the age of 75. More in our second hour of Up North News Radio.